You're listening to the Paranormal Peeps on the Dark Cast Network. Come to the dark side of indie podcasts with the Dark Cast Network.
We have cookies. Between the realm of the dead and the journeys of the living, join Josh, Jamie, and Elisa as they delve into the vast world of the paranormal and breathe life back into the history of the departed.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Paranormal Peeps podcast. And today we have a fun story for you guys because we are talking about another investigation that we went on, which is super fun for us.
Road trip.
But before we start, I'm Elisa.
I'm Jamie.
And I'm Josh.
And welcome back.
Hello, everybody.
Chime in, someone.
Yeah, as Jamie alluded to, instead of just being a single investigation,
we did multiple.
It was supposed to be 4 in 5 days.
Yes.
Which it ended up really being 3 in 5 days, which is probably good because the last day we were so tired.
We were burnt out, guys.
I barely remember that last day. Yeah.
And I think it's probably best that we stayed where we were on the last day.
Yes.
Than any of the other days because it was such a junk, like junky beds and everything.
Although I have to say, as tired as I was, I did sleep really well.
Well, that's because you were so tired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had I not been that dang tired, you're right, I wouldn't have slept. But so I didn't really realize the beds were that junky.
Yeah. It's like sleeping like tacos.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to that. That was kind of funny.
So what we're talking about, and if you guys have been following us on social media, we're talking about Virginia City, Nevada.
Yeah.
Which is also on our bucket list. There's been a few places that we've wanted to go visit.
Yeah.
And we just got all of them in the same trip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was actually kind of amazing in that avenue.
It was really, really fun.
It was.
It was like ghost hunt, sleep, ghost hunt, sleep. Oh, do we need to eat something? Well, while we're ghost hunting. And then.
and then we'll sleep.
And then we'll sleep.
While we're ghost hunting.
None of that even happened.
Actually, I tried.
We almost did sometimes.
So, yeah. So it's not that long of a drive for us in Utah to Virginia City. It was about 9 hours.
Yeah, I'd say so.
And that part wasn't too bad. It was kind of crazy, though, because we drove in on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. And we get there, and the town is full. There's cars on both sides of the street, and there's people milling around.
Everywhere.
And it's like this vibrant city, and I think we got into like 2:30.
No, it was more like 3:30.
3:30.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, this is really cool. And we had to drive through town because we stayed at an Airbnb in Silver City.
Yes.
But let me like set the tone here for as we're driving through town. This entire town, like this whole strip, is all like original buildings.
Yeah.
And super old, very like Western style.
Oh, that's boardwalk canopy.
Yes.
Warped boardwalk. But yes.
And it is so, so fun. It like takes you back and there's tons of shops on there and
cute
anyways,
little shops.
Colorful and just fun. And it's just very, it just takes you back to that time.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's not like anything has been modernized.
No, it's
a lot of it's original,
like stepping back in time.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
To a certain degree.
Yeah, it's really original to like 1876.
Yeah,
when most of the main street was wiped out by a fire.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Virginia City had many fires. A lot of them were on D Street, which is if you think of A Street being up three streets from there, Main Street, which you come in on, is actually C Street. So it's one block away from
Main Street.
From Main Street. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is so D Street had a lot of the mining company houses. Yeah. It also had a lot of the bordellos.
Of course.
And so that's where a lot of those stayed. And a lot of those burned down.
I can't imagine why.
On multiple times.
Drinking, gambling.
All the other things.
Lewd acts, you know, falling asleep with stogies in your mouth.
Well, I mean, let's think about it. These buildings are made out of wood. Mm-hmm. There's lots of linens and stuff in them, and there's no electrical lights, so they're all power. They're all lit by gas lights, and it's pretty easy to knock one off the side of the bed when you're
half out of it,
having fun.
Yeah, exactly. And then next thing you know, the cat house burns down,
and they just build another one
right in the spot. Yeah, exactly.
So we drive over to our place that we're staying at in Silver City. It's just like 10 minutes away.
Yeah, it's not far.
Yeah, it, Highly recommend it. It's the only Airbnb in Silver City. It's a beautiful little place.
Oh, it's cute.
It's super cute. So it's attached. It's not its own house.
No.
But it's in the basement of one part of the basement. And we go and we stay there, and it's got, you know, the big bathroom, like, and it's different because it has kind of different shaped, not shaped, but size of rooms.
Yeah.
They're all funky shaped. Yeah.
Yeah. Like the bathroom's huge, but it doesn't, like, it has a lot of space in the bathroom, but you don't need a lot of space in the bathroom. And no. It has a tiny kitchen, you know?
Yeah.
So it, like, but there's enough space.
Oh, there was plenty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyways, got unloaded, got everything going, and wanted to, did we go back and go and see the town?
I did.
Yeah, you did.
I did. You guys were tired because.
Yeah.
Like most of the times when we do road trips, mm-hmm. Jamie stays up to some crazy hour of the morning.
I didn't sleep at all.
In this case, she was up because it was prom the night before. Mm-hmm. And like all good parents, we waited for our kid to show back up from prom.
Well, this good parent.
Yeah, I slept. I slept.
Yeah, but you were driving, so. Yeah.
So Jamie didn't get any sleep. I think Elisa got like 3 hours of sleep.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I only got like 3 hours of sleep. So we were all pretty running on empty. Mm-hmm. The difference is like when we were driving, I drank two energy drinks and two big things of soda, a coffee, actually two big things of coffee. I was wired. Like
I wasn't.
I couldn't sleep if I wanted to sleep.
I slept in the car.
I nodded a little bit in the car,
I think. I tried, but the turtles kept waking me up, and so...
Dang turtles.
Dang rumble strips. Like, they always interrupt my sleep. So I went back into town. And so we got in at 3:30, and the town's bustling and busy, and it's this vibrant town. I come back at 7:30, and it is a ghost town.
Everything's closed.
In the literal sense, everything is closed except for one shop. Ended up... walking up and down Main Street a little bit, just kind of checking it out, see what was there, checking out some of the locations we were going to be investigating. And then I ended up just chit-chatting with the owner of the shop. And it's this little, it's called Comstock Bandidos. Honestly, great little place to go into. They have these amazing clocks in there.
I still never got to go in there and see them.
Next trip, which will be soon, I'm sure. But the clock face is actually on the hour. Instead of being like a normal cuckoo clock that chimes, the clock faces expand and spin.
Oh, that's cool.
That's neat.
It's the neatest thing. And so, honestly, guys, got to go check them out. But, yeah, it was the only place open. And so I'm like, well, obviously I'm here to find, you know, we're here to find ghosts. And so let's see what kind of activity they got. And, you know, even they have activity in their little shop. So it's crazy how much activity is actually in this town.
No, that place is pretty busy because we actually walked around later and talked to a few different places that had things going on in their buildings that they had talked about. But unfortunately, we weren't able to investigate at the time.
No,
unfortunately not. But that didn't really matter a whole lot because we did have a pretty booked schedule.
We did.
I couldn't even imagine doing more investigating than we already did.
I don't think we had it in us. Like, physically, mentally, emotionally.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I think we were drained and depleted on every level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're not going to get into too much of our actual evidence. We're going to talk about our personal experiences in this episode, mainly because we are still bogged down by hundreds of hours of footage to review.
Well, yeah, because we ended up, something that we don't normally do on investigations is run DVR cameras. And on a couple of these, we actually ran DVRs.
And multiple, you know. So
for
it's
hours.
Four cameras.
So to give you guys like a little idea, our first investigation was like 16 hours.
Yeah.
Next investigation, 12 hours.
Mm-hmm. And we ran DVR on both of those sites.
Yes.
Right. And so then we're also including, we've got our
two still cameras
and our other cameras, and we've got mm-hmm. our recorders.
Yeah, digitals and all that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot to go over.
It's hours upon hours to sift through.
Yeah. So we ran seven cameras total, mm-hmm. And two digitals per site.
So we'll probably do this in a two-part episode where, you know, we'll have one episode on this and maybe another episode on all the stuff that we catch.
Evidence review.
Exactly. Yeah. All that stuff, and really go down to the nitty gritty of each investigation.
Yeah. So the first place we stopped at was probably one of the most famous places in Virginia City.
Yeah.
Which is the Washoe Club, or also known as the Millionaires Club.
Huh. Before that, our first night.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Our first night that we stayed there, mind you, we don't know the history of this place that we're staying in. We have no idea, right?
It's a square, rectangular building is all we thought of.
Yeah. And we try to go to bed. I'm in a separate room than they are. They're sleeping in the living room. I'm sleeping in the actual bedroom. And doors closed and everything. And I'm trying to go to sleep and I cannot. It's like, it's almost like back when I was a teenager and I would be trying to go to sleep and then something would go right up in my face.
Yeah.
And they'd wake me up and I'm like, I don't like being stared at when I'm going to sleep, you know?
Yeah, who does?
So that's what it felt like. Every time I tried to close my eyes, it felt like something like rushed up to me. And so really kept me awake. And it got to a point like, and I even said, hey, you need to go. I'm tired. I need to get some sleep. But I wasn't really like forceful about it or anything. I was pretty mellow because I was just really tired.
Yeah.
And, you know, because I wasn't scared or anything. It was just annoying. Right. And then it continues. It like doesn't go away. And so it's probably 30 minutes in where I keep trying to close my eyes and it keeps rushing up to me. And it's not something that you can ignore because it's such a strong feeling. So I got out all my stuff and sat there, asked questions, and I sat there and I listened to my recordings thinking, well, maybe I'll catch something and we can have a conversation about it and then he'll go and I can go to sleep.
Right.
Seriously, nothing. Nothing. I totally expected to at least get like a hello or yes or no or something. But I did have to whisper really quietly because you guys were sleeping in the next room. But that
probably wouldn't matter. We were out.
Yeah. Still, though. So I just, which not getting any evidence, honestly, just made me even more mad.
Well, it's frustrating.
And so I was like, look, if you don't have anything to say, then you need to leave.
Right.
And so like, that's when I got frustrated and I kind of raised my voice a little. Mm-hmm. And then it left. And I went and laid back down. I was like, oh, it feels so peaceful again. And then nice. I was able to go to sleep. But I was up for like 2 hours after you guys had fallen asleep.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. I'd be irritated too.
I was really irritated because I was so tired. Yeah. Only got 3 hours the night before. And then I know that we're doing a 16-hour investigation coming up.
Yeah.
And I knew I needed sleep because we were going all night.
All night.
But what's kind of crazy is that that's not the first time we've had a spirit come visit us while we're like camped out in a hotel.
No, we had one at the Stanley too, and we forgot to mention this in our previous episode, but we did actually have a spirit, a male spirit, at night.
Yeah, so first it started with me where, same thing, I was laying in my bed and totally fine, and then I felt like something just went up in my face, and I opened my eyes, and there was a guy standing next to the bed, and he was dressed up in period time clothing, like we're with like kind of like a 3-piece suit without the jacket, you know. And he just got the vest on with his tie and his
dress shirt, button shirt, yeah,
mm-hmm, nice pants and stuff. You know, I didn't see his feet or anything because I'm only seeing like bed level on up, right? And he was just watching me. I was like, all right, dude, I'm too tired for this. And I literally just turned over and went back to sleep. And it's funny because like, that's what we're here for. We're here to see these things. But when you are so exhausted,
you don't care.
You don't really care.
You don't care. You're like, go away. I'm going to go sleep or stand there all night and watch me. I'm sleeping.
Yeah. Because if I had seen that at any other time, I would have been like, guys, did you see that? That's what I saw. I totally saw this. You know, and it would have been super exciting.
Yeah.
But at that time, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I'm not in this mode right now.
You're not there. I'm going to sleep.
So then I tell these guys what happened. And then the next night it happens to Jamie.
Yeah. Except for I saw him from like the waist down and he was wearing like I want to say it's like a khaki or a brown, like trousers. Pants.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw his pants and I saw his shoes. So I was laying on my right side and I was facing the closet in our room, and I, for whatever reason, I was a half asleep, and for whatever reason, it's like something told me to open my eyes, and that's what I saw, waist down.
That's so cool.
And I'm just like, oh, yeah, I'm not really seeing that. I'm just really tired. And so I went to sleep.
So, oh, that's so crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not the first time.
Mm-mm.
Nope.
No.
Probably won't be the last either.
Hoping not.
I hope not. Yeah. I just hope that they show up when we're not that tired.
Right? Can you just come when we're really asking for you to come?
Exactly.
But yeah, we started off the investigation tour, I should say, because like I said, there were four scheduled in 5 nights, which mm-hmm. is, it's a pretty big load for people to investigate, especially when your first one is 16 hours.
Yeah, right out of the gate, the longest one.
Yeah, 5 o'clock at night to 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And like I said, it was at the Millionaires Club or the Washoe Club,
yep.
which honestly it's really neat. I mean, it's the place that launched Ghost Adventures in that avenue. There's been lots of other people that have gone there and investigated there. I believe Ghost Hunter's been there.
Oh, I'm sure.
Omar Gosh has been there. Like, there's been several people that have gone there and investigated. Mm-hmm. And now we get to put our name in the books of being there and investigating.
Well, I think just to be there in a historic building was amazing
yeah.
in itself.
So what's kind of neat about this place to set up is like your base camp, so to speak, is right off the bar, and it's actually their museum.
Yeah, it is. They have like a mummified cat in there, and
yeah, which is kind of random.
Yeah, they got a hearse coach.
Yep.
Oh, that was so neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then they got a bunch of other artifacts from different paranormal investigators that have gone there, mm-hmm. as well as a continual loop of Ghost Adventures. Documentary series at the Washoe Club, which
yeah, thank goodness they turned that off before they left.
Yes, exactly.
But what's also cool though is that you can actually start investigating earlier if everybody stops coming. So they have a bar that's attached, right? And the bar is just off the room of where our base camp is. And as soon as people stop coming in to get drinks, because they pretty much just stay open until people stop coming.
Yep.
Which they stopped coming at like what, 5?
Oh yeah. 5. Yeah. It was great.
The town shuts down at 5:30. It is amazing. Well, this is the off season, but it shuts down at 5:30. It's amazing.
We're also talking that we were investigating in the Washoe on a Monday.
It was a Monday.
On the off season. So
that does help.
It did help for sure.
There's not a lot of people drinking late on a Monday.
Yeah.
I mean, if there was like football going on and it was Monday Night Football, I could see that. But I don't even think there's even a TV. I don't think I even saw a TV in any of the buildings there.
No, I was too busy looking at the other stuff.
Well, I was too. But like normally, like you'd hear a TV yeah. or something playing. And mainly it was just people drinking.
Oh, small town.
Tiny town. But.
But this place was really, really big. So we had plenty of space to investigate.
We did. It's like 3 floors tall.
And it's 9,000 square feet.
It feels smaller than that.
I don't know.
Not to me.
To me, it felt big. It was bigger than what I expected it to be. I loved it, though. I loved that building.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And it's got, I mean, it's got just a, I don't know, a neat vibe to it. Mm-hmm. But it was just fun. So we all had some personal experiences that happened there, which was kind of neat. And when we started off, we kind of broke up into groups to go off, and the three of us went off and started investigating. And we started in, I don't know, some random room on the second floor.
Yeah, I don't know what room that is.
Yeah,
it's like by the stairs.
Yeah, by the stairs that the old stairs that used to lead up.
Yeah.
Now it's blocked off on the top.
Yep.
We started there, and we got like we heard. Elisa brought out a new piece of investigation equipment. It's like this harp that you play if you stick your fingers where the strings were.
Yeah, it's basically a harp with no strings, and my husband made it. And if you stick your finger in there, wherever you stick your finger where a string should be, it plays that tone. So, yeah. And you can change it to have it. That tones be higher or lower or whatever. But yeah, so we set that up too.
We set that up. And then I was demonstrating it. Like I put my fingers in it and it's like, hey, you can play it like this. And then we heard a woman singing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All three of us, which is amazing. in that avenue.
Yeah, you could hear each tone just go, like her pitch just changed and would go up, and she had this pretty little tune that she was singing. It was really cute.
Yeah.
Radio down to base camp to make sure they, you know, there wasn't something that they were doing or if they heard anything coming from outside, because we were close enough to an outside door. It could have been kind of something as well from outside. The possibilities, but there was nothing.
Nobody was out there. Nobody was downstairs.
Yeah, it was pretty quiet.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was kind of a great way to start it off.
Yeah, and I want to mention, is that the room that looks like it has the bullet holes in the wall?
Yeah.
No, that was
it's next to it.
Yeah.
It's next to it.
That's the one with the mannequin that keeps freaking me out.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, there's a mannequin on a chair in the corner.
Oh, the Willie Nelson one?
Yeah, the Willie Nelson one.
Yeah.
But
didn't we start back in that one room?
We did start the room with the bullet hole.
Yeah.
We didn't stay there super long.
No, we didn't. And we didn't really get anything either. But I wanted to mention that in those little, what looks like bullet holes, there is a tuft of hair.
Red.
Not a little bit.
A lot.
And it's really soft. It's like somebody's hair sticking out of that.
And it's like red hair.
Out of that concrete. Yeah.
But I noticed it throughout almost all of the concrete.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
But this was like a chunk.
This was a big chunk of hair.
This was a big chunk of hair.
I even kind of like pulled some of it out because I was like, what the heck is this?
Yeah.
Because there was just so much hair. I'm like, there's got to be a few strands that'll just slide right out.
Yeah.
And they did. They just slid right out. And I'm like, this is actually like really soft hair. I was thinking, okay, well, probably back in the day, they put animal hair in there or whatever.
Horse hair or whatever.
You know, try to like get the walls to be stronger, whatever, or give it some insulation. I don't know. I don't know the purpose of it all. But I was like, why is this so soft?
Yeah, it was.
Is there a woman that's like
buried in the concrete wall?
Did she die
wall?
And they like put her in the concrete wall?
Yeah.
And there's some hair poking out?
It was a little weird.
It was.
I mean,
weird.
I'm sure there's a rational explanation for it, but
what they probably do
is
they save all the barber hair and then use that in the concrete.
Well, I hope they had a whole lot of hair because
somebody's missing a lot.
Is it attached to a head? You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Like, this feels like it should be in a ponytail.
Yes. It was definitely kind of strange.
But yeah, we didn't, like I said, we didn't get much in that room. That's why we moved to the Willie Nelson room.
Yeah.
But then we had this weird experience another weird experience in Willie Nelson room, which I know we were above a bar. Mm-hmm. But we got this strange moving cigarette smoke.
Yeah.
And mind you, we had been in there for a while, like at
and
this
hadn't
point.
Smelt it.
Hadn't smelt anything.
40 minutes. Mm-hmm.
We have been in multiple rooms throughout and above the bar.
Yeah.
And the bar is closed at this time too.
Yeah. And it had been closed for hours.
Yeah.
Okay. Hours. Then we are in this room and both, it's funny because I start smelling cigarette smoke. And at the same time, Josh is like, he's kind of like starting to get up and like his face is looking weird. Like something's going on, right?
Yeah.
And he's like, do you? I'm like, are you smelling cigarette smoke?
Yeah.
He's like, yes. And then Jamie's like, no, I don't feel, or I don't smell it at all.
I didn't. Not at the time.
Yeah. But then right after, it leaves us and goes to you.
Yeah. They no longer smell it. And then I'm smelling it.
And she's sitting down on the floor.
Yeah.
We're up higher. Mm-hmm. And it just makes its little round and continues to
move
from Josh to me to Jamie. Mm-hmm. And then it just kind of stops at Jamie. Like Josh and I stop smelling it and it stops coming over. Like we're up and we're walking around and trying to follow. Right. And because it is said that spirits will manifest a smell if for you to recognize, you know, like sometimes I've been into theaters where I will smell old lady perfume, you know, or I have smelled cigarette smoke in other places that I've been that would be heavily smoked in. Right.
Yeah.
Like a room that 100 years ago had somebody smoking in it all the time. But where it moved as it did and then just stopped and hovered over you. And I'm like, I don't smell it anymore. Like, holy cow, it is so strong.
Yeah. Well, and you know, here's the thing, though, and I didn't think of this at the time, and I don't know if you picked up on any energy.
Male.
Yeah. But the thing is my dad smoked.
Oh, there you go.
And I didn't think of it in the moment mm-hmm. because I was trying to figure out because it kept moving. But then, yeah, it was around me towards the end a lot. And it mm-hmm. would like move from like right to, you know, in front, but kind of to the left. And then it moved over by the doorway to my side. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and so thinking about that, because I have said to my dad, like out loud, like, and this has been months ago, mind you, like last year.
Mm-hmm.
I have said to him, like, you know, because there's been times I've smelt beer too, and my dad drank beer.
Yes.
And so
yes,
there's been times I've would catch random smells of beer, you know, in our home and stuff.
Yeah.
And at times cigarette smoke. But, you know, as we're talking about it, I'm thinking, what if?
It could be.
That's why I asked if you picked up on anything, because.
Well, we had picked up on someone.
We figured it was linked to someone who had died there, right?
Or just been in the
house. Or just been, had some emotional experience there.
Right.
Because we, you know, it was someone who had lost in a gambling
right.
thing. So, but who knows? I mean, you don't know.
You don't know. Yeah.
So it could be.
It's hard to say.
It could be him popping in and being like, I'm here. I'm ready for the next one.
Right?
It could be both. It could be yeah. one. It's hard yeah. to say.
But it's so cool, though. It's so cool. Either way, it was neat. And then we started feeling cold spots.
Mm-hmm. We did.
So, which was doing the exact same thing, going around, mm-hmm. making its rounds. And so it was pretty neat.
Yeah. And then it kind of went quiet for a little bit for
it
us.
Did.
And we you know, decided to go back and let the next team go back in and kind of investigate around. We kind of rotated in and out.
Yeah, because as big as this place is, it's still very echoey. You still hear everything.
Mm. Yeah, it's still like, yeah, like you when
it's
you
not
walk
insulated.
On one floor, you know that someone's walking on that floor.
Yeah.
And so, but we went, Jamie and I went back in a little bit later. Mm-hmm. We went up into what's called the red room.
Yeah. Which is supposed to be the scary room.
Yeah. It's supposed to be the dark room.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know, everything there felt light. It didn't feel dark. It didn't feel mm-hmm. ominous.
No,
there wasn't any
not at all.
Darkness feeling there. Not to say that room doesn't get dark.
I'm sure it does, but for us, it didn't.
It did not.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, this one door will close on its own.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, I'm putting a camera on that sucker.
Yeah, we had a camera there all night.
Didn't do anything.
Dun, no. dun, dun.
But Elisa brought her first generation SLS camera.
Right. Okay, you guys, just to give you an example of what I had to go through. Okay. An SLS is kind of like a coveted piece of equipment that most investigators want to get their hands on.
Yes.
And what it is it shows you stick figures on the camera and will show entities that pop up in the room, okay, as a stick figure. So you can map it around, right? Well, so they're dang expensive, right? And while I was in Florida, I went to the actual maker to get one from them, but they didn't have one, nor would they go get one for me. So I was very upset because I was
like, I came all this way.
I flew across the country, drove 2 hours just to come here, and they couldn't get it for me.
Yeah.
And so I left defeated. So Alan's like, let's make one. We could totally make it.
That's so awesome.
And so we did, and we made it. And so first gen, this is what we've got thrown together before we go on this investigation. Okay, so it's a Kinect camera and like an Xbox 360 Kinect camera.
Right.
Then you have a battery attached to it and you have it sitting on a bar with a handle underneath. And then you have your
screen.
Well, my screen lasts for, it's a really old window screen, lasts for like 45 minutes.
It was a laptop.
Well, I did have a laptop too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we used the laptop screen.
Yeah. So we had a big laptop that we were carrying along with it. But to keep it charged, I did not have a battery attached to it. I had What?
It was a battery.
It was a battery, but it was also a battery to jumpstart a car.
It was big and it was heavy.
So it weighs like 25 pounds.
So just for this SLS piece, I'm carrying an entire duffel bag full of stuff just for this dang SLS camera to take around. And if you want to move with this SLS camera, you've got to pick all that crap up and haul it back to wherever it is that you want to go. Yeah. It's a beast. Not that I am upset that I took it, because, I mean, it was a blast to have, and it was really fun.
Absolutely.
It was super fun.
It was.
But now it has been modified.
It's so much better.
It's actually like a normal SLS.
It's a normal SLS now. So, anyway, long story short, we have an SLS, which is super exciting.
Yes. And this was the Washoe Club was the first time we broke it out to use it.
Yeah.
So, Jamie and I took it up to the Red Room. Mm-hmm. Which it actually stayed in the Red Room the rest of the night.
Nobody wanted to move it.
No.
Like, do you want to carry it somewhere else?
No, just leave it here.
It's like a 2-person job, honestly.
Yeah. But we brought it up and we were using it. And, you know, Jamie already mentioned that her dad comes along to all of our investigations that we're on. She asked for her dad to come up and stand next to her. We're just waiting, sitting there, nothing really happening. And all of a sudden, bang.
Right next to me.
There is a stick figure right next to her.
I was telling him to stand on my right side, and he did.
Which is so freaking cool.
Yes.
I was tickled pink.
Kate, mind you guys, this is dark. Okay? Where we're at is dark. Mm-hmm. So, and there's really nothing around.
No.
No.
So there's no way it's going to pick up on anything unless it's an entity.
Yeah. And I mean, and there was nothing, like, it will map, like, if you're moving it around too much, mm-hmm. it can.
It will.
It can pick up, like, different things and map them as
like my we were talking about earlier, like my vacuum. It'll think my vacuum is a person.
Yeah.
And it'll map that out.
Mm-hmm. Or like other things, like we were playing with it tonight and it mapped the cat tree
mm-hmm.
as a person. And once it mapped it on the screen, if you rotated off it onto the wall, it would show like it moved up to the wall. It's kind mm-hmm. of kind of weird that way.
Yeah.
But it kind of works in that avenue. But in this case, it was steady and still and wasn't moving.
No.
And then it just, there was a stick figure popped right up. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, that's really cool.
That was really neat.
Yeah. And then what happened with the rest of it? So you asked it to raise his hand mm-hmm. or something like that.
Yeah. And he did.
Yeah. I asked it to raise his hand. He did. And then she asked for a hug and he moved towards you in that avenue, like reached out mm-hmm. and then he disappeared.
Yeah.
It was like a goodbye hug.
A quick hug and I'm out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. It was really neat.
Definitely made my night.
And then Stacy, Elisa, and I went back up into the Red Room
mm-hmm.
where we're like, you know, we haven't done an Essie's method yet. And so they're like, somebody else should try it. So I did it, which was tough. Like I'm not used to doing it. And so it's a little challenging on that avenue. But what stinks is while I'm under... We have all sorts of junk going on.
It was awesome.
In the hallway.
It was awesome. Stacy and I, we just like looked at each other like, did you hear that? And because we were hearing footsteps in the hallways. And the thing is that the difference for me, and I don't know about Stacy, but for me, it was like, are they coming or are they going? Mm-hmm. You couldn't really tell. You just kept hearing the footsteps. It was like, heel toe, heel toe, heel toe, heel toe. And we were like, what? And we asked it to come closer and whatever. And we heard the footsteps a few different times, but it's like they never got closer, but they never got further away either.
That's weird.
That's how it sounded to me.
Yeah.
I don't know about to him. He was closer to the door than I was, mm-hmm. but it was
I think he made the same comment that he couldn't tell where they were,
like
which way they were going.
Yeah.
And maybe it was just one of those things where it was in the middle of the room or middle of the hallway that didn't really ever go anywhere.
Very well could have been.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, though.
Yeah, it was really neat. The unfortunate thing about that night is it did snow 4 inches.
It sure did. Wasn't even in the forecast, but it did. It snowed.
It was not. It made for a very interesting night, though.
It was so cold, guys. Like, the places that we investigated, it was so cold. Out of all of the things that happened, the worst thing that happened was how freezing cold it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awful.
I had brought sweats. I had on 3 layers of clothes.
It was cut off for circulation around our waist. for 16 hours. I walk out. Know.
She's like, how many layers do you have on?
Yeah. She's like, three.
And I still was not warm.
Yeah. You know that scene from Christmas Story?
Yes.
Where yeah. the kid can't put his arms down? That's Elisa.
Yep.
I can't put my arms down.
It was cold, guys. It was cold.
But yeah, I mean, it was that was a fun way to start the week off, though.
It was.
And I have to say, that was my favorite place.
It was mine, too.
The first place was my favorite place.
Yeah. And what's down?
I really enjoyed it, but mine's a tie.
With?
The last place.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
So the next place we go to, which we're all stoked to go to.
Well, now Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday.
Was our day off.
Tuesday was our day off. But interesting enough, so we're trying to sleep, right? Because you get done at like 9:30 in the morning. And we didn't go to bed till like 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 a.m.
Yeah. 10 a.m.
Tuesday morning.
And so we'd already been up for 24 plus hours, mm-hmm. everybody. What's interesting is I had my own weird paranormal experience that morning. So I was laying in bed and I had rolled over onto my left side and I felt three fingers touch and like caress my
caress.
It was really like a caressing touch and it was right on my side, right? Like right above the hip. And so my first thought was, hey, sweetheart. All right, this is cool.
And you turn over.
I look over and she's out.
I'm out and I'm rolled the other way.
And she's rolled the other way. So I'm like, nope, it's not her. And it wasn't the blanket because I felt it actually.
You felt fingertips.
I felt fingertips compress my skin.
Yeah.
Like that's not a blanket sliding or anything like that. It was actual pressure behind it. I thought it was a hand touching.
You thought Jamie was getting a little frisky on you.
I did.
Got your hopes up, huh? Sorry.
And then I realized that nobody was there.
Well, nobody you could see.
Well, nobody I could see. And then again, because I'm so tired, just like Elisa, I'm like, I'm going to bed. Just leave me alone.
Yep. And then you just go. It's so funny because that's what you're waiting for the entire time. Then when it actually happens, you're like, I can't. Not right now.
No, yeah.
Not doing it.
Yep.
But yeah, we went. We actually had the interesting thing is like we didn't get a chance to eat in town the night before.
No. Everything was closed.
Everything was closed. And so we did take the chance to get something to eat from the Red Dog Saloon.
Yeah, and Paul Welch recommended them.
Yeah, he did.
He said they had great food, pizza.
Great pizza.
I think we dropped a $100 bill for two pizzas and some ribs.
We did.
Yeah.
Two pizzas and a rack of ribs with a $100 bill.
Yeah.
So it's not cheap, people.
No.
It's not bad, though.
It was all right.
I wasn't worth it for that much money.
But it was good to try something that was local.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we did it. It wasn't bad at all.
No, it was good. It wasn't that it was bad pizza.
No, it was good. Know,
it was good, but.
But the price is very high.
Very high.
It was like $30 a pizza.
But what was also cool, though, kind of aside from that, when we were walking outside, we ran into the owner of our Airbnb.
Yes.
We did.
We were telling him that we were investigating, and he's like, oh, well, did you know that this place was the first building built in the area? And I was like, what?
It used to be miners' cabins.
He's like, it used to be a miners' cabin and a brothel. And I was like, wait, what?
They had a bar.
And they had a bar. And this is where the bar is. And it was in my room.
Yeah.
And the bar was in my room. I'm like, well, no wonder there was a dude in there. And
yeah.
Right.
And was kind of pissed that I was there because he's like, what is this girl doing in the bar?
Or since it was kind of a bordello too, maybe he was waiting for service.
Maybe he's like, hey, you're sleeping.
You shouldn't be sleeping. I'm paying for this.
Well, and that makes you wonder what was touching me.
Maybe she was trying to get money from you.
Maybe she's like, all right.
I hope it was a she and not a he. Okay.
Well, you know, it was only three fingers. So,
that's
demon
true.
Fingers?
Oh, hey.
It could have been.
Never know.
Could have been. I mean, who knows? Someone was in between Jamie and I.
I don't know what you're talking about. I was sleeping.
I know.
But yeah, once we found out the history, it's like then Elisa's thing made sense from that first night of a man there.
Yeah.
Just sitting there, like, waiting for something.
I know. It was just like...
It really made sense.
I'm like, what are you waiting for?
Yeah.
Just tell me what you're waiting for. And he just literally, like, stood there for a couple of hours. I'm like, dude, I'm done. Done.
Leave the money on the table.
Here's your money. Get out of here.
Rain check.
Yeah. It was nice to have a rest day, though.
We needed it.
We
needed it, but we still didn't sleep much. That's the kicker of all of it is like...
I slept 4 hours.
Yeah, that's all I got.
It was like I fell asleep at 10, woke up at 2:30 or something. And it was like I was kind of ready to go.
Yeah.
Kind of.
But...
Well, we sent you out to get pizza. We didn't
We were still kind of laggy, right?
Yeah.
And then we did end up going to sleep at a normal time.
We did.
And we actually all slept.
I think we watched like Harry Potter movie and then we're like, we're done.
Yep. Yeah,
we watched.
You guys were out while, while I was watching the Harry Potter movie.
I was out for sure. I know that.
Yes. And then Jamie was like laying down watching from the reflection of her phone.
Yeah. Well, the TV is like lower than the bed. Yeah. So it makes it really awkward to try and watch it while you're trying to get comfortable on a pull-out couch bed. And so, I just rolled over on my right side and positioned my TV on the arm of the couch. And
your phone?
Or my phone, and just try to watch from there.
I thought for sure. I was like, she's out. Am I the only one watching this? And I'd look over and she's like, hey.
No. I wasn't going to leave her hanging.
I was the only one that fell asleep, which is not surprising considering
he usually is.
Most movies.
Yeah.
But that lets us, that mean we actually kind of got a decent amount of sleep that night.
We did.
I think so.
Which was the last time we actually slept.
Yeah.
For the week.
The full night.
And we had found that there was a really cool cemetery in town.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided to go check it out. On the morning before, we had another investigation, which was still pretty cool. And this cemetery is huge. It's like the only city cemetery the place has ever had.
We did not even get through that entire thing.
It was gigantic.
It's massive. And it just sprawls out everywhere.
Like, and I feel like once you go over a hill, it just keeps going.
A whole nother section.
Yep.
Yeah. It's just, it's huge. But yeah, it's all kind of sectioned off. There's like an Oddfellow section. There's a firefighter, first responder section.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Catholic section. There's like
all Jewish. A Jewish section. Well,
Jewish section.
We're struggling.
But here's the crazy thing is the Jewish section isn't even part of that cemetery.
No, I don't even think we found it.
We didn't. It's actually... the road that takes you to that cemetery was blocked off, right? Or blocked off in the parking lot. You got to follow that other road out and around, and it's over on another ridgeline, just further down. But according to Paul, that all of the headstones are gone.
Oh, that's too bad.
So it's just all unmarked graves out there.
I wonder why.
Vandals.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Buttheads.
Well, and you know, a lot of the headstones and stuff that we did see, a lot of them are broken.
They were broken.
But just from weather and time and all those things. You could see where people have camped out up there, though, because they found like tin cans of food and some beer cans.
Like, this place is huge. Like, and it literally just keeps going and going and going. Yeah. And it's kind of like a hike, know? And so there's enough hills there where you're not even going to see people that are there.
No.
So I can totally see somebody camping out over there.
They have cameras there now, though.
They're on top of the flagpoles.
There's 10 cameras.
Yes, but I mean, visually.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was funny, though, because when Josh and I were in one part, and this is Elisa took the car and had to run up and do something, and...
Let's just admit I had to take a poo.
Yeah. Okay. She had to go lay a log. Anyways... Sorry. Too much?
Can we just say I ended up finding like the city center that was tiny. It was like in the same little 10x10 section, there's a child care center, there's a hospital, there's bathrooms and an elevator, and then there's a library. And so I was like, bathrooms.
Relief. But while she was doing that, anyways, Josh and I were walking through this one part of the cemetery, and I had bent over and picked up like this green
It was a poo.
No, it wasn't. Just kidding. It was not poo. You weren't there. It wasn't poo. No, I'm kidding. Elisa poo.
I left it for you.
But it looked like jade, like raw jade.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was just here and there. Like, it wasn't everywhere.
Yeah.
But I think it might have come off that green. Remember that one grave area that was all that green stone? Maybe it was part of that.
Probably was.
Vandals maybe took it off, smashed it, you know. Anyways, but as I was doing that and I picked it up, I heard zzzz. It was the camera on top of the flagpole. Oh,
rotating to look at
you. Rotating to look at Josh and I and what we were doing.
Oh, man.
And that's when I realized that that's where the cameras were.
Well, I'm glad that they have cameras up.
I am
too. They need it.
They need it.
Well, and the place does close down at night. Mm-hmm. And if you are in there after dark, they will come and get you. And there is a police station 2 blocks away. Like, yeah. It is close.
They will come get you.
Yeah.
So be respectful and be out of there before it closes.
Yeah.
Be out there when you should and don't do anything you shouldn't be doing.
And I tried to record while we were there, but it was just way too windy.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
There's just no way.
So that leads us into our second investigation, which was another location on our bucket list of places, mm-hmm. which is the Mackey Mansion.
Yes.
And we had 12 hours in this building, and we were determined to use all 12. We got 11 of the 12.
We were pretty close.
We got out of there at the right time, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Seven. We just stopped.
After 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just had to pack up and everything.
Yeah.
But that place, if we thought the Washoe Club was cold,
this place
was worse.
Here's the thing, though. We thought Mackey Mansion, okay,
mm-hmm.
with all this old
original artifacts.
Yeah. We figured they're not going to keep it stone cold in here, right? We're thinking it's warm. And we walk in and no.
It
was colder than the Washoe.
The lady that cares for the home and lives there, she lives downstairs in the basement.
Her name was Dawn, wasn't it?
Yes.
Super, super nice lady.
She was neat.
I loved her. She came out in this ginormous Snuggie.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, girl, I'm jealous. Yeah. She had this huge Snuggie on, was walking around giving us a tour. And the thing is in some of these rooms, you can't wear shoes.
No.
So you have to take your shoes off.
Original carpet.
And where it's blocked off for other people, we were able to go in. And those rooms are the ones you can't wear your shoes in. So for the most part, we all kept our shoes off.
Yes. I kept mine off the whole time.
Me too.
Yeah. I wore mine. I put booties on. I was happy.
Yeah. But everything was cold.
It was freezing.
Like, I thought for sure that would be warm. I wear leggings and I brought a pair of sweats, like thin sweats, not the thick sweats that I should have brought. I brought a pair of thin sweats, and I'm glad I had at least had that because what was it? 20?
22.
It was 22 cold. Degrees.
And it was every bit 22 in the house.
Oh, yes. Yeah. It was bitter. It was like biting cold.
Yes.
So we would kind of rotate, and there was a heater in our base camp, which was by the front door.
It was the mining office.
Yeah. And this tiny little heater was there, and we would kind of like rotate. Somebody was always in front of it.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was just that cold.
Trying to thaw out.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. It was bitterly cold.
It was.
It was actually kind of, in a lot of ways, it was kind of miserable.
What we have learned is that we want to start investigating during the day.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting about that place, right? Because it's 8 p.m. to 8 a.m. Is the investigation schedule. And again, it's just like the Washoe Club. They do daytime tours of the place. So they wait till the tours are done and then you can investigate.
Yeah.
But what we learned is it's like a normal house.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Everybody does their thing during the day and then they go to bed and things get quiet.
From midnight to 6 a.m.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Silence.
So imagine sitting in a house trying to investigate.
Freezing cold.
Freezing cold for 6 hours. And you're like, there's nothing going on. This is awful.
This is dead.
But we're like, we are bound and determined.
We tried our hearts out, guys.
We sure did. But what was crazy is we were setting up DVR cameras and stuff like that. And the second floor landing had this dark and gooey
feel
to it.
It was thick, guys. So I walked up there to go set it up, and I walked in there, and normally I'm fine, right?
Yeah.
It's not a big deal for me. I go up, I go up there and I get to a point where I'm like, I am overwhelmed by how much I'm getting stared at. I feel yucky and terrible, and I want to run out of here as fast as I can. Like, that's what it felt like.
Right.
And so I hurried and I set it up, constantly like looking around, you know, like seeing if I'm actually going to see like a full blown entity, because that's exactly what I think I'm going to see. It's what it feels like with how powerful it was. And, but mind you, I'm sensitive to this stuff. Right. So it's not uncommon for me to feel like I'm being watched when I'm going out and doing these things.
Right.
But this was like very, very overwhelming. I haven't felt this like I need to get out of here in a hot minute. And so I go down, I set it up, I go down, I kind of like run down the stairs, and those stairs are not easy to go down.
No, they're not.
And so I kind of run downstairs and I was like, Stacy, you need to go up there. And he's like, what? Because Stacy doesn't really feel much.
He's got the feeling sensitivity of a brick.
Yeah.
And he went up there and he was like, whoa.
Even he felt it.
He's like, I feel it. He's like, I didn't even tell him where. I just said it feels icky. And so he walked up there and I watched him because I went up first, and I watched him go up the stairs. And as soon as he hit that top stair, it hit him and he was like, whoa, even I feel that. And he kept walking further into the hallway and he's like, I feel like we're being watched and whatever. And I'm like, see?
Yeah.
Like if Stacy can feel it,
you know it's strong. Yeah.
Well, and then there's like the camera at the end of the hall has to get changed. It has to get moved.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like, Josh, go do it. So we send the third person up there.
Uh-huh.
So I go up alone, and yeah, it's the same thing. It's like as soon as my foot hit the top step, it's like
different.
It was just this dark, soupy feeling.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was looking in every, because I had to walk all the way down the end of the hall. Now, it's not a long hallway. It's like 20 feet.
Yeah, no, but it's pretty rooms short. On each side.
But there's rooms on each side. There's the Mr. Mackey's, Mrs. Mackey's room on the left side.
And the two kids on the other.
Two kids' room and a bathroom on the right. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I like, you kind of just glance into the rooms as you're walking by, and you're expecting to see a face, somebody looking back at you.
Yeah.
Like, it's like heavy and creepy up there.
Yeah.
And that was like, and that's where we're like, okay, let's go. Let's get investigating. We get the camera set up. We went, and it was great. And then midnight hit.
And it was silent.
Everything felt quiet.
And it felt different.
I could have crawled on one of those couches and just fallen asleep in the room all by myself. Like, that's how far it went from being incredibly thick and heavy to being absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah. Well, and when Dawn was giving us the tour that night before we got started, everything that she showed us that was caught by either her or other, you know, people that were on the tour, it all happened during the day.
Yep. Like
everything happens during the day.
And this is why we want to investigate there during the day, is because we have realized in these places that we've gone to investigate there is that things stop at midnight.
Yeah.
That whole town.
And so
shuts down early.
which is ironic because the Washoe Club did not.
It did not.
And here's the reason why I think it's because I'm sure that place was where everybody went to party all night long.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's what that place was about.
That's right.
It was a club full of rich people to go and hang out. And back in the day, that's what they did all night long. They wouldn't leave until the sun came up.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I think that's why that place was our favorite, because we were there all through the night and things were going on all through the night. But then when we go to somebody's house, like the Mackey Mansion, and it stops at 12, because guess what? People are going to bed at 12. They've got to wake up in the morning and go mining or go, you know, do whatever that is.
Right. And they usually get up with the sun.
Yeah. But what I did find interesting, though, is the last person that we actually got in contact with was the maid. And she, which is, if you think about it,
Harriet, I thought.
Which would be right for the time, because she's going to be the first one up and the last one to go to sleep.
Yep.
Yeah.
She's going to take care of the house. She's going to get the house ready for when people wake up. And she's going to get the house ready for everyone to go to sleep.
Yeah.
So I thought that was pretty neat.
That is pretty
that
cool.
We were getting that. But it would be a lot more fun to investigate that during the day to see if we could get anything.
Yeah.
Oh, I agree.
I'm with you on that.
I agree.
100%. Yeah.
So our next stop.
I want to talk about when Elisa and I went upstairs and we were sitting in the hallway upstairs.
Oh.
And you had that little motion sensor thing that makes fart noises.
Oh, I don't. Yeah, but I don't remember what happened.
We were sitting up there and you're like, I got a fart. And I'm like, let her rip. And so you did. And when you did, we started laughing. And I snorted and you started laughing harder. So you tooted more. She's like, put, 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 put. And then we're just rolling.
Okay, because guys.
We were stupid tired.
We were so tired. And it was like nothing was going on, nothing guys. We were bored as crud.
Okay, oh, yeah.
You can get pretty so bored when you're ghost hunting, but this time, this is probably the most bored I've ever been.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
I've been doing this for 7-8 years now, mm-hmm. and this is the boredest I have ever been.
Yeah, it was pretty boring.
And so, and Jamie was kind of in a funk.
Yeah.
And well, because she's hitting lows and whatever, and it kind of puts you in a funk and you're exhausted and tired. So I was like, okay, let's get Jamie out of this situation. Let's go upstairs and see if we can investigate up there. So we go up there and I'm like, dang, I have to fart. She's like, let it rip. So I did, but it's just like a little guy.
Yeah, it was just a little fella.
Just a little fella. And then when she laughed, she snorted so loud that I start laughing hysterically so loud that all of a sudden I'm like, boop, 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 boop.
Yep.
So then we just keep going and we are rolling the entire time. It was good. We were laughing for like 10 minutes.
I almost peed my pants there too, but I didn't want to ruin that carpet.
I know. And you can't use the bathroom that's there because it's like the golden toilet.
Yeah, it's like a $10,000
toilet.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy in that avenue, right?
Yeah.
But like the whole house, like the artifacts in the house.
Oh, they're beautiful.
It's a beautiful house.
Yeah.
And honestly, like it's, if you don't want to go there for the ghost stuff, definitely go there and check it out.
Take a tour.
Take a tour of the house.
It's gorgeous.
And it's just an immaculate. They've done a great job of curating the house.
They have.
And what's so cool, though, is that when we walked in that first room, and she was giving us her little tour and her little spiel, there is a skull.
An actual skull
sitting in one of the bookshelves. Like, it's in a glass case.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, yeah, they just found this.
In the backyard.
And they found out that it's a female. Mm-hmm. And she's got this little hole, perfect circle hole, right above her ear?
Right above her ear.
And we were looking at equipment that the miners used. Mm-hmm. And there was a pick, like a miner's pick, that is that exact same shape. Mm-hmm. So I can imagine something happened to her. They didn't find any other parts of her body.
No, they never found any other
just
bones.
Her skull. Yeah. And I can imagine that's probably what happened to her.
Yeah.
And it's possible, like, because we were down by D Street, mm-hmm. it's possible she could have been a prostitute. She could have been an immigrant, somebody. I mean, who knows who she could have been at the time or was.
Well, and the skull is very small.
Yeah,
it is very small.
It's tiny.
And it could have been a child's skull.
It like, could be.
It's hard to say in that avenue, but I mean it was an amazing place. It's definitely a place to check out and to see.
Oh yeah, don't skip it. Take a tour. Go check it out.
But the next night, so we get done 12-hour investigation. We don't get to bed till 10 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And now, unfortunately, we have to investigate at 4 o'clock at night. Four o'clock the next night, or that night.
Mm-hmm.
So now we get almost zero sleep again. And we go to prison.
Yes, we go to the old Nevada State Prison.
And this place is huge, guys. Yeah.
16 buildings.
Huge.
There's just not enough time.
It was the first territorial prison, and it operated till 2001.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking a massive amount of time. I think it was 2001 or the 90s. It was somewhere in that range. But super huge. Mm-hmm. And it's got lots of history. And before it was a prison, it was a resort.
I find that hard to imagine.
I know, right?
That's really hard to imagine.
It's super hard to imagine. So you can imagine like any type of hauntings you get in that area could be anywhere from people from the resort. Like, there's, like, little kids that have been seen there. There's, like, old ladies on rocking chairs that have been seen in this place. And then you also get the inmates.
Yeah.
So, it's just this just huge, huge place.
Yeah.
But, you know, after our very informative long tour, which we won't have to do again, And it was actually,
really good though. I really actually enjoyed it.
I did too. It was nice. Which was interesting is the guy who took us around giving us the tour, he was a guard there at the prison.
Yeah.
Like that was his job. So you get, not only do you get to see the place, but you get to hear it from a person who walked the halls.
Yeah.
Yep.
When it was occupied.
And he told some stories that he witnessed.
Yes. And they were not fit for most radio.
No.
No.
They are not very nice and a little explicit. But once we got done with that, we actually got to go and investigate. And we kind of started off in the cafeteria.
Because they say that like the cafeteria ends at 8.
Yeah.
Culinary. Yeah.
Culinary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like we should get in there and investigate. And the crazy thing is we heard this bang from the upper corner of the room. And I was like, man, that sounds a lot like something on the roof. Is banging on the roof.
Like something's loose.
Like something's loose, right? Mm-hmm. And it was kind of chilly in there. So I went to go back and get Jamie her jacket. And I was talking to the people that were kind of babysitting us there, just make sure we didn't have any problems.
Yeah.
Or get lost in the massive building.
Yeah, because that happens a lot from what I hear.
It does. And I asked them about the bang. And like they're like, look, the roof is a foot and a half thick concrete.
So it's not going to be...
It's nothing from above you.
No.
So that, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talk about putting out equipment.
Yeah.
And putting out too much equipment.
Yeah. And this is where I got in the culinary is where I kind of, well, because we have, you know, been doing these investigations and stuff, by the time we were doing the prison, we were already
tired,
pretty close to empty. Mm-hmm. You know, we were so tired and drained. But I think sheer adrenaline from the excitement of doing this place kept us going enough. But anyways, we're in the culinary and that's where we started out. And it was Elisa and Paul Welch actually joined us on this one, which was great to investigate with him.
He's fun.
He's a lot of fun. He is so knowledgeable.
I was going to say he's super informative. So it was perfect.
Everything. It was great. It was great. Anyways, but a lot of equipment and little doodads that make noises were set out. And I felt like I was on sensory overload with all of these things going off.
Yeah, like because there was a music box that went off for a while that was kind of like in the hallway.
Well, and then like an app on a phone that was like
shooting out stuff.
And the
and then it's echoey.
And it's echoey, so it's intensified. And so I was feeling really overwhelmed and I kind of checked out. I had my ovulus set on a table, and I was kind of sitting.
Which you got some stuff off of, right?
I got some really cool stuff. Very relevant, in fact. Yeah.
Yes.
At one point, I was sitting there, and while I was waiting for Josh to get my jacket, and I had like this like summer sweater on, and it's kind of, I don't know, it stretches real easy, and so the ovulus goes off, and it says, "Show chest." And I looked down, and sure enough, my sweater, because it's a V-neck, was kind of down far, and you could kind of like see cleavage and my white bra. And I was like, whoa. So I pulled that back up. But I thought, well, that was kind of funny. And then with all these things going off and stuff, and I just remember thinking in my head, oh, my gosh, I want to scream. It is so noisy. I can't stand it. And then over the obviously, it goes, noise, shh. And I just laughed and I'm like, yeah, you read my mind, spirit. So I thought that was like pretty cool.
Yeah, that is really
neat. That was really neat.
But I think the part that was really kind of cool is we went up to the death chamber. Mm-hmm. And the chamber originally started off as a gas chamber with two chairs in it. It's pretty big. It's probably the biggest one I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they actually have executed two people at the same time in it. Mm-hmm. But later, after the gas chamber was disavowed and they brought in the lethal injection, now it's a lethal injection chamber. And we had Elisa and Jamie on the one side of the wall. And Paul, myself, Stacy, and Karina were in the last day cells. And we were doing an Estes method back and forth.
Over the phone.
It was kind of a neat little experiment to do because it's something we haven't tried before.
Yeah, and it's one that Paul has suggested.
Yes.
Which I was glad that he did.
But while we're in there doing that, there's this heavy door that leads to the control room for the lethal injection. And that had ended up closing on its own.
During that time.
During that time. And we're like, well, that's, we didn't see it happen. We didn't know, I mean, you know, we didn't witness it happening. And we're like, okay, that, we walked out and like, was that closed? I don't remember. And so we opened it, and then Paul went and put some devices inside of the control room. And then we went back into the viewing area of the execution chamber, and we did a dowsing rod session in there. What was neat is when we came back out of that, that door was closed again.
So at that point, we tried so many different ways to try to get that door to close. I mean, it's a solid door.
20, 30 pounds, easy.
Oh, easy. It's got to be more than that. But we tried like
pushing it
and like
giving it a little nudge.
Yeah, giving it nudges. Mm-hmm. And it would just nudge to the point like where you pushed it and it'd stop. Mm-hmm. And you'd nudge it again and it'd go just a little bit and stop. Like it really wasn't going anywhere just because of how solid and heavy that door is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we ended up putting a camera in front of it. So we're like, okay, we're going to try this one more time. We pushed it all the way open and then walked away. Like you guys walked away.
Yeah.
You and Paul.
Paul and I walked away. Yeah. And we didn't come back for like 45 minutes to come check on this. Because we figured that, well, you know, we don't know how long it's going to take for it to close.
Or if it's going to close at all.
Let's give it some time.
Let's give it some time. 3 minutes, 41 seconds.
And it closed.
It literally starts to close the moment that you guys leave.
The moment we leave the area, it starts to close.
Yeah.
And it takes a couple minutes to close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it slowly does.
Slowly closes. So we came back, right? And we see this door closed, and it's like the greatest thing in the world. I'm like, oh, I hope we were recording.
Yep.
No, we were.
And we were. And so that video is up on our YouTube channel right now. You guys can go watch it. The cool thing is we opened it up and again, opened it all the way up, made sure it was set, left the chamber. It never moved again that night.
Nope, never closed again.
So who knows what that was, closing it, but it was super neat.
I think it was pretty cool, yeah. But it just wasn't enough time there.
We just didn't get, yeah, there was not enough time there.
It's an amazing place, and I can't wait to go back and explore more of it. But again, here's the thing. Mm-hmm. Want to do it during the day, because it seems like all the stories and all the things that it caught, a lot of these really amazing things are caught during the day.
Well, and the people that work there, that they all are, what's the word I'm looking for? Volunteers. So all of the people that are there are volunteers, and they go through and help these other paranormal teams come in and set up and do their things, mm-hmm. right? And they're like, there's no need to go past 12 because this place is quiet.
After.
Yeah. Like you can.
You can if you want, but this place is quiet. There's really no need to do it.
Yeah.
You're just wasting your time pretty much. So again, during the day, I want to go to that place and just spend all day and go to all of those different buildings, because we didn't even get half.
No, not even close.
We did maximum security. We did women's. We did the death chamber. We did culinary. And we did, I think we did the infirmary. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know.
But not enough time. But
no,
that's barely time. Making a dent.
But what's crazy is I was walking back to base camp, which is in the justice building. And as I'm walking through the courtyard, right, which is their yard, their exercise yard, there's basketball courts and stuff set up. And lots of people have been murdered in that yard.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm walking through and I hear the chain link move on one of the chain links in there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. Let that not be an animal.
Yeah.
Right.
And I generally don't carry a flashlight with me when I'm investigating, mainly because I'm always carrying cameras.
Yeah.
So I don't need the flashlight to see. Because I didn't have a flashlight, I couldn't flip on my flashlight to see
what was causing it.
What was causing the noise? Because you know there's raccoons and badgers and and other critters, and you know the last thing you want to do is
we found a cute little lizard in there,
and frogs,
tiny baby frogs. Yeah. Oh my gosh, they were so cute.
It was neat.
The last thing you want is a badger at night.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the thing you want to see at night.
No. Those things are mean.
They are super mean.
They're super aggressive.
But yeah, we definitely need enough time. And this is why we want to come back and investigate this place, because there's so much more to do there. Mm-hmm. There's so much more to do at the Washoe Club. Like, there's just so much to experience. You just can't do it in a week. Mm-hmm. And then we ended the week at the Silver Queen Hotel.
We did. But I want to mention that Paul Welch was nice enough to take us out to, was it camp or Fort Churchill?
Fort Churchill.
Yeah. And, you know, he kind of gave us a history lesson and told us all about it and stuff. But it was really neat to go there and just walk amongst all these, like, you know, buildings that are, you know, they're slowly crumbling and stuff. But it was still neat and it was really enjoyable.
So. Yeah. It was an adobe mm-hmm. fort. It was actually quite large.
It was.
Yeah. And they have pictures of what it looked like back mm-hmm. in the day. And because now they don't have roofs. You know, what's left is just the walls, but the stories behind and they're really interesting. I love that kind of stuff.
I do too.
Yeah.
And there's a campground close by that you can camp at and then investigate at night.
Yes. Oh,
see, there you go.
You could have some fun there.
But I want to mention one little fun thing that we did do. So when we go from Virginia City back to our Airbnb, there's this little kind of hill and then these railroad tracks.
Oh, my God.
And it's like 25 miles an hour is the speed limit through there.
And you should do 25
miles. And you should do 25. We don't ever recommend doing anything more than that because it's just a two-way narrow road.
Yes.
But anyways, even when you're doing 25, you kind of go over this little dip and lift thingy that's...
It gives you butterflies in your stomach, like you're going on a roller coaster ride.
It's so fun. Every time we went over, Lisa and I were like, wee! And, you know, we'd laugh and stuff. And so Elisa's like, you know, just one time, we got to go over that a little bit faster.
And I didn't think it was going to go that fast.
And Jamie also agreed to this as well, that, yeah, you're right, we should do it faster.
Just once. So we did. Josh was driving.
We did.
And he went over, I think,
40.
Okay, so that's, and we don't ever recommend this, okay?
Please don't do this.
Please don't.
We flew. Guys.
We caught air.
Wheels off the ground.
Yes.
I ain't even kidding. Like, I think it shocked us all.
Because all of us grabbed the old crap handles.
Even I did.
And then when we landed, the front wheels were in a different direction than the back wheels. So we had to kind of like correct it a little. So it kind of was a little jarring once we landed. But
we left the roadway, guys. We left
the roadway. Oh my gosh. All of us were laughing hysterically.
Yeah.
We had so much fun. We felt like kids again. Like stupid teenagers.
It was hilarious, but it was fun.
All we need is a generally... And some of that great horn, and it would have been right out of the Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah, we did. We left the roadway.
It was fun.
It was fun.
Oh my gosh.
Don't know that I'd ever do it again because that could be very hard on your vehicle. But
well,
I would do it again going uphill.
Actually, I would be terrified of uphill.
I would too.
Not going that fast.
Because you go uphill and there's a short set of railroad tracks and then you go back uphill.
Oh, then you turn. Yeah. And
then you go uphill again. And I'd be worried about getting a little too much air and coming down face first into the side of the hill. And it's like, why'd you wreck your car? I don't know. I don't know what I was doing.
Yeah. But another fun stop we made was this little candy store. Well, it's actually sizable. It's called the Chocolate Nugget.
It's outside of Carson City.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's a cute little place. The gal in there, she's making all these confectionery goodies and
tons of chocolates and
butterscotch fudge, caramels.
They even have jalapeno brittle.
Yes, jalapeno brittle.
How was that, by the way?
Delicious, and had heat.
Yeah,
it was like this sweet heat. It's really good.
Yeah, they got all this taffy. I mean, it's amazing. So I would check it out.
Absolutely.
I love seeing the different things like that.
And it was like an old fashioned where they were like in barrels. And
yeah.
It was really cute.
It was really neat.
And that's half the fun about going to these places is mm-hmm. just getting a chance to see them.
Yeah.
And to experience something different.
Yeah.
And so definitely recommend getting out there and seeing Virginia City.
Well, and it's like slowing yourself down.
It is.
Yes. There's not a lot of good cell service out there. It's actually junky. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's a good chance to put the phone away mm-hmm. and just
be in the moment,
experience the place. Cause there's still stuff we didn't go to see. There's the mining museum. Mm-hmm. There's the Way It Was museum. There's like all of these things. and historic places we didn't go get a chance to see. There's other shops and stuff. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that we were barely sleeping and we were investigating.
We were sleeping while everyone was up and moving.
Yeah. Yes. Well, and all the more reason to make another trip out there.
Exactly. So, and we did end up at the Silver Queen Hotel.
We did.
Which is a very old hotel.
Man, those stairs.
Oh, brutal. Brutal.
They're awful.
We were on the third floor, so.
Yes. And it's like 50 stairs up to get to the main floor, mm-hmm. and then another 30 stairs from there to get up to the second, the third floor.
Curve around and then up.
And mind you, the stairways are narrow.
They are very
so
narrow.
So taking your gear up is tough.
Yeah. Well, and even the hallways, when you get to the third floor, narrow.
This one has been featured on other paranormal shows and TV shows and stuff like that. It has this really cool cutout, like almost like balcony style between the third and the second floor.
It's cool looking. Like, it's, I ain't wrong. It's cool looking. It's just hard when you're carrying all your crap.
Like, yeah. It's hard to move just yourself between the wall and this thing. Then you're trying to carry a backpack or something that's just awful.
Or like your big suitcase.
Yeah.
That's a pain.
But this place, we wanted to investigate it, but it was a Friday night. And the town didn't quiet down till like 2 o'clock in the morning.
You had a lot of the people coming in and rowdy.
Yeah.
And they had like a theater across the street that a bunch of people were in costume. Yep.
We're like, man, we need to come back. But in the same token, it's like, we're tired.
Yeah.
So, and that's where we got the taco bed.
Oh my gosh. So I'm laying on my side of the bed and Josh, you know, he's getting ready for bed. He crawls into bed, and the minute his body fully is on that bed, my end of the bed raises up, and I roll into him.
Yes.
So now it's like we're in a folded taco bed. And yeah, it had us laughing pretty hard. It was funny, but, you know.
But we did have one of the only rooms in the entire hotel that has two beds.
I think the only room.
The only room was
the only room.
And that place was booked out. Yeah. It was completely booked out.
Yeah.
I'm glad we booked a month in advance.
Yes.
Or 2 months in advance because we never would have gotten a room there.
No way. There's no way.
We would have had to get two different rooms.
Yeah. We ended up doing a little. Stacey and Karina came into our room and we ended up doing a little bit of investigating just there. Kind of.
I don't know how
room.
Successful it was.
I don't know that it was too successful.
And I don't know how much we actually really cared to do
remember.
It because we were just so tired.
I just don't remember a lot.
The one thing I do remember is Elisa picked up the dowsing rods and immediately her chest started to hurt.
Yes. Wow. Like pinpoint right in my chest. I felt like a stab.
Ooh.
And it wasn't until I started talking about it to go further into that until that went away.
Wow.
So using the dowsing rods, we were able to determine, at least for what we believe, was a gentleman who didn't stay in the hotel but lived next door. Because like there's apartments up there on these other buildings that are connected.
Yeah.
He died in one of those apartments. Mm-hmm. Or he says he died in nearby or in there from a heart attack.
Okay. That would make sense.
It would make sense, right?
Yeah.
I tried to verify any of this information. I wasn't able to.
Yeah, it's hard.
It's hard. But I did find this information out because I was talking to one of the cleaning ladies the next day. And I didn't follow up on this and I should have because we had an opportunity. I just forgot. But I asked her about anybody dying in the hotel recently because he did say he died recently within the last 20-ish years. And she had worked there for 15, 20 years. So I'm like, oh, this is perfect. She's been here forever. She's like, no, but there was a parking attendant who died in his sleep. And we had right next to the hotel is a paid parking lot.
Yeah.
Sort of. I mean, everything closes at 5:30. So they stopped charging at 5:30.
Yeah.
So we didn't pay for parking there, but he worked at that a parking attendant. So I meant to ask if, because I think we got a name from the guy. I think the guy's name was Charlie. I can't remember.
I had no idea.
And so I was going to ask her, and then we loaded up the car, and I forgot. One of those things, like, we were still tired the next day.
Oh, yeah. And we had a 9-10 hour drive back.
Yeah. Yep. But honestly, a great a great time.
It was a great time.
It was really, really fun. A good experience to have all of those things in a very close amount of time to get as much in as we possibly could.
Yeah.
And I think we succeeded.
I do too. I would say
I don't know successful. How much more we could have done.
I don't think we could have.
No.
No, not really. I mean, we need more time to do all that stuff.
We need a day off after each investigation.
I tried to, and it didn't work out.
No, I know. But the one day that we did have off, the Tuesday after our 16-hour, Josh was actually trying to fill it with another investigation. And I remember I got a little miffed at him. And I'm just like, dude, that's our one day.
I almost got us another investigation while we were there. And it wouldn't have been a long one. It would have been only a couple hours.
It doesn't matter.
But you guys have to understand, we have a lot of junk to pack, and it fills the entire trunk of a car.
Yes.
And not just the trunk of the car.
Everything.
The part of the passenger side.
I can't see out the window on the passenger side.
We bury Lisa.
I'm buried. She's buried. So not only do we have to pack that, we have to unpack it. Mm-hmm. And then we have to pack it up again, and then we have to unpack it. Mm-hmm. So, because you can't leave all that stuff in the car.
No.
So every time we investigate, packing, unpacking, every just time. For one trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot.
And there are lots of flights of stairs, guys, mm-hmm. that we have been going on.
Yeah.
I think when I looked at my step counter for the Washoe Club, I think I was at 18,000 steps.
I believe it.
Oh, yeah. I don't doubt that for a second.
Yeah, I don't either.
Because, yeah. Here's a rough thing. For anyone who wants to investigate the Washoe Club, there's one caveat to investigating there with gear. Is when the bar is open, you get to walk through the bar and put everything into your nice little base camp museum.
Yes.
Makes really it easy. Super nice. Now, when you leave that night,
that's a different story.
You have to go out through a back door, up a couple rickety, crazy wooden stairs.
Yeah. Leaning to one side.
Into the Washoe Club. And then down a flight of stairs street level.
To the street. And reality is that one flight of stairs should be like two.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It really should count as like two flights.
It's long.
It's like the stairs to the Silver Queen.
It's long.
It's like 50 silly steps.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And then once you get down to there and you put your stuff on the curb or in your car.
Then you have to go back up the stairs.
And do it again.
Yes. And so you get this crazy amount of steps in and flights and stuff.
And like you're that. Exhausted.
Yeah.
Because it's late or early. Yeah.
So anyways,
it was a great trip.
Absolutely.
And thank you guys for listening.
And as always, stay ghosty, my peeps.
Is that going to break?
No.
Okay.
He's hyper.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was done with my thought.
Oh, I didn't realize.
So anyway, it's crazy how much activity is in this town. That was my end of my thought. I was waiting for commentary from other people. And I look over and I'm like, oh, look, cat. Shiny.
He's being weird.
Well, for me, I was like, that thing looks like it's going to fall apart.
Yeah, it's...
It's not. It's pretty solid.
It just needs to screw on tight or something?
It's screwed in pretty...
It's stripped a little bit, so it won't.
Okay. Anyway. Okay, commentary. Down. We need commentary, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That's all I got. Sorry.
Like, obviously, you need something. This cat needs something.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
He needs a friend.
He needs a friend.
Thank you for listening to the Paranormal Peeps podcast. You can find us on social media at Twitter at CPR Paranormal, on Facebook at Paranormal Peeps Podcast and Cold Spot Paranormal Research. And you can find us on Instagram at Cold Spot _Paranormal _Research.